starts are free.
Hello, Kieran, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. We're live on air. Let me do my little spiel beforehand and we can get started. Welcome to Not My First Schmodio. I'm your host, Ruby Raven. I'm broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM. My guest today is Kieran Duell, a comedian who was recently named one of Entertainment Weekly's 11 Asian American comics who killed it this year. As an actor, she starred on NBC and Hulu's comedy show Sunny Side Up, in addition to other shows like How to Get Away with Murder and Modern Family. She stars in a new show, Lopez vs. Lopez, premiering in the fall, and she will be performing stand-up at the Rio Theater tomorrow, Wednesday, August 3rd. Hello, Kieran! Thank you for being here.
Hi! Yeah, I'm so excited to join you guys. I fly out tomorrow. It's going to be so exciting.
I can't wait to see the show. I only found out last minute that you were going to be here last week, and I really wanted to interview you because I'm a big fan of Armchair Expert, and I was listening to Armchair Expert like months ago, and Mike Schur was on the show, and he was talking about Monica Padman, one of the co-hosts, had auditioned for your role on Sunnyside, and they were sort of talking, oh, she didn't get the role, but they were talking about like how amazing you were.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then I looked you up and I saw your stand-up, and I'm just a big fan, so I'm so excited to be meeting you and talking to you today.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Monica's really nice. And so is Cal Penn's amazing. So, you know, such a good dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was Mike Schur who was on the show who was talking about you. But yeah, I also listened to the Cal Penn episode. That was great too.
I like Mike a lot. Mike is worth $100 million. He has $100 million deal, and he still wears like, he still gets his pants from JCPenney. He's just like the most like down to earth, like chill dude. You know, you can kind of razz him on that. He's such a sweet dude.
Yeah, I was wondering what it was like to work with him, because he's like literally like the leader of the sitcom movement of the 2010s. he's like a guru, you know what I mean?
He is. He's so generous. He's the kind of guy who laughs at your jokes. Mm-hmm. Like he's really like, which I love the way that I, you know what I mean? He's he's not like a king sitting on his comedy throne with his like arms crossed being like, make me laugh. Like, he's not like that. He's very like, you know, he's warm. He wants to laugh. He'll joke around with you. He's very down to earth. He's a really like chill, nice person. Genuinely. It's cool to see that.
How did you get that job on Sunnyside?
This is my friend, a friend of mine, Daniel Nguyen, went out for it. He went out for the role that Joel Kim Booster ended up playing. Mm-hmm. And I remember he forwarded me the audition. He was like, hey, I think you could be really good for this. And I saw it and I was like, I had just been in a pilot the year before, like the lead on a pilot. And I was like, oh my God, like it's so rare for something really good to come along, you know, and you're like, and the pilot didn't go, and you're like, oh, I'll never work again. It's just, I'll never work again. There'll never be anything else. And that's probably just how it'll be. And okay, cool. I'll write or I'll do stand up, whatever it is. And then this came along and I was like, and I read it, and it's the co-showrunner with Cal Penn, the co-creator, sorry, with Cal Penn is this wonderful guy named Matt Murray, who has a sister. He has a sister. So it's kind of like got some basis in their dynamic. And I was like, this feels so like real. This feels like a real, and she's funny, and she has like a backbone, and she's sarcastic. And so, you know, just went for it and studied and improvised and just, you know, did your best and kind of, you know, those roles are like rare and few and far between. So you just, you know, you do your best when they come along, and this one ended up working out, and Cal read with everyone. I think this is really generous. He read with everyone when in the callback session, mm-hmm. he was the reader opposite you. Wow. So, so that, I think that's really, again, really generous, to do with your actors. And there was just a nice spark there. You know what I mean? Like we were like already riffing just even in that session, and we were like laughing. It felt really warm. So yeah, knock on wood, it was just one of those that went your way, and Monica's awesome. And there's so many talented people. So it's like, it's, you always feel like, you know, we're all going, it's like anything, we're all going for it, and everyone's trying their best. So just, you know, I felt really fortunate to be a part of that show though.
Yeah, no. I mean, also, did you audition for Allison Jones?
Yes,
So, yeah, so
yes.
I'm like, as you can probably tell, like a huge sitcom nerd, and I am like
That's crazy that you know
No, I'm like a huge sitcom nerd, so I'm like obsessed with Allison Jones as like a casting director. And what was she? So, for the listeners who don't know who that is, she's like this renowned casting director who casted Parks and Rec and The Office and like all of these shows with these amazing ensembles. And she sort of has this like superpower for casting. So first of all, it's amazing that she chose you for the role. Also, was it nerve-wracking? Like, what was that process like?
she's a comedy goddess.
Yeah.
She's a very like she's a person. I love her. She her and Samba, who was the also on that show and is currently on Our Flag Means Death. He cast her twice in that. She's a champion of she loves actors, she loves comedians, she loves comedic actors. She's a champion of talent. She really loves her job and she loves meeting new people and she's the nicest. I mean, she's the nicest. I have to say she'll bring you back in for other things. I don't know if she's aware of this. This you'll probably appreciate. I think that when she knows you're not right for something and she brings you in, I think she'll give you a compliment on something about yourself. You know what I mean? Like I went in for The Good Place and that wasn't the fit. And it was like, she goes, "That's a beautiful necklace you're wearing." You know? So sweet, like so sweet,
So
you know?
generous, yeah.
So generous, offering something. I don't like she's and then it was like, I think I went in for Palm Springs, the bride. I think the bride in Palm Springs, because everything she does is like gold. It's all
Oh, I was
fantastic.
obsessed with Palm Springs, and then when I saw she casted it, I was like, of course, of course.
Yeah, it's really she really I think people really trust her. She gets great projects. She brings you in when she thinks you're right. So it's like one of the cool things about an Allison Jones project is like whenever you know, I always try to ask like my people, "Oh, is it like who's casting it?" Because I know if it's Allison, okay, I really have a shot at this. You know what I mean? Like I know she wouldn't be bringing you in if she didn't think that you had a genuine shot at the role. So,
And
yeah, she's very
is that rare among casting directors that you audition for?
I think that the like just because she's been doing it for so long, because she's so renowned for curating and discovering comedic talent that's gone on to do like you know such great things. I think that they're like I think people just respect her and have so there's like a weight to her opinion that maybe everyone else doesn't necessarily always get the benefit of the doubt on. You know, so it's like I wouldn't I think that there's a lot of amazing casting directors. Felicia Fasano did, you know, I'm not even gonna remember everyone now because it's like she did the Pamela Adlon show, for
My mother
example.
is
She did
obsessed with
that.
that show.
She did Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's a wonderful, like loves actors, love talent. There's the people who did Silicon Valley is Jeannie McCarthy's Office. They're like huge fans of like they want, you know, they want comedians to win. And anyone who wants a comedian to win is like, I'm a fan of them because I am a comedian. So it's like, yeah, they're just fans and they want improv and all. It's just great. They're Allison, I have stumbled through this last piece, but she's a charming, lovely human person. And it's the one thing that's so nice about that entire group of people is that it's that they're at you, like, you know, their shows, they're so successful, but if you came in, it would be just like this, you know, there, it's just like, Mike would be like, "Hey, how are you?" Or like Allison would be like, "Oh, thank you so much for interviewing me. This is so like, oh, wow. I don't know what I'm gonna," you know what I mean? Like they're still people in this way. That's really, really refreshing and lovely. And yeah.
That's amazing and so nice that you got to experience that in that way. Tell me a little bit about your stand-up and your show and like your tour. Like, I want to know, get to know you better as a stand-up.
Yeah, I yeah, the show is called Joy Suck. And it's kind of, you know, I think we've all been through a pandemic, you know. I don't know, were you aware? Did you know that there was this global pandemic? Did you hear about that?
Vaguely in the background, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a vague, distant memory. There's like this whole thing that happened, super crazy. Like everyone had a couple like weird couple years, but maybe it skipped you.
I
Maybe it
think
didn't.
I'm thinking one of the lucky ones wasn't affected.
Yeah, Canada didn't, it didn't happen in Canada. So just that thing of like, how do we get back to that like childhood level of joy? You know, it was kind of the idea, and how do you get back there and hopefully like kind of create something that's like uplifting and like a little bit of like one person show mixed with like stand up and hopefully some really big laughs all the way through that get you going. But hopefully an arc over time is the goal.
That's amazing. I mean, I am a university student, and I feel like a conversation that I've been having with my friends a lot recently as we're new to adulthood is like, you know, what we miss about our childhood spontaneity and like the joys and not having everything scheduled all the time or blah, 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 blah. So I'm really excited to see your show because I feel like I can relate to this so much as someone who's like, so like my childhood is so fresh still.
Yeah. What do you think is, what do you feel are the differences? You're like, just like riding my bike and like going to eat ice cream with my friends.
I mean, for the most part, yeah. I think that there's a lot less room for spontaneity, and there's a lot more pressure to always like have something in the works, always make sure that like your schedule, like if I'm trying to make plans with a friend, it's like, oh, are you free in 2 weeks from now? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, I'm 20, like this is so, I'm not 45 with a family. It shouldn't be this hard. So I think that's something that we were sort of all grappling with, was just like how much time it takes to like feed yourself and cook and just like keep yourself alive compared to when someone else was keeping you alive.
It is, I will say that that is a wild, yes. The whole thing of like, and I have to do my laundry? Wait, and I have to like wash my, wait, and I have to feed myself every day?
Three
Every
times a
day?
day?
Every day? But if I do it yesterday, surely that would carry over until Friday.
Why didn't
And
it
it's,
last
and
the
it
whole
doesn't.
week?
Yeah, this is wild. This is madness. I can't. Yeah, it is a that's an that is an adjustment. That's an adjustment. And the scheduling, I get it. And also probably for you, I'm guessing the pressure. I feel like the one thing people don't talk about with college kids, at least the ones I've met here in the United States, and hopefully Canada is better than this, well, obviously there's crippling debt here for a lot of kids when they come out of college, which is uncool. And then the other piece of it is like people are worried about who they're going to become in the world. Like, so like, what am I going to do when I leave? Like, how am I going to, you know what I mean? Like just that thing of like, I know who I am now and I'm like doing a thing, but it's like that part where you're like, oh, I'm like gonna take a leap into something that maybe is unknown, you know? And that can be really, I think people really underestimate and forget how stressful that can be. That can be like really stressful.
Yeah, no, there's so much pressure to like know exactly what you want, take those steps now. And I can see people that I know sort of like fitting themselves into a box in order to make sure that they have a plan, because the fear of the unknown is like so much greater than the boredom that will come from whatever job they don't like, you know?
And I think the important thing to remember is you can always pivot, you know, like you can always, like I started as a documentary filmmaker, like right after college, I went to Nepal and made a documentary
I was
film.
gonna ask you about this. So you directed a documentary called Woman Rebel, Rebel Woman, Rebel
Woman
Girl,
Rebel, Woman Rebel, you
Woman
got it.
Rebel in 2010, and were nominated for an Emmy. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what that was like and what you did?
Yeah, the day after graduating from college, I just like went to Nepal, and I was like, oh, a lot of my friends were like, they had a fellowship for a year or whatever. So I was just like, so I had gone the summer before, and then I was like, oh, maybe I should like make this documentary. And then I was like, oh, I'll spend the summer. And then a summer turned into like 4 months to 8 months. It turned into a year, and I was like, this will take the summer, and it took like 2 years or whatever it took. It just took a ridiculous amount of time. So just imagine, you think it's going to take 3 months, and then I was like, oh, I've put so much time into this. I got to finish it now. But it was, yeah, and just went and just like figured it out, you know? I mean, I don't, there was like I had a shooter. I just figured it out really. And then just, and I think about it and it's like a different, it feels like a different life. 'Cause it would be like at 10 p.m. you get a call from a journalist. And he would be like, hey, meet me at this bus station at like 5 a.m. Then you meet him at the bus station. And then you get on a bus 5 hours later, you're like in the jungle, you hike for like another 2 hours, and then you're like with the rebel soldiers in the jungle, and then they're like, come to this blue tarp and like pitch us on your idea, you know, and then you're like pitching a rebel army like of like 20 dudes like your idea about like a woman rebel soldier film, and then they're like, but you're pitching it to all dudes, and you're just like, oh yeah, yeah, this is, yeah, Mike sure is delightful, you know what I mean, like what a nice man. Allison Jones is a delight. It'll never be as crazy as that. It feels like a different life. I don't know how else to, it feels like a different life. So you can do a lot of things. Like life is short, but life is long.
My God. And what was the like end product of this documentary that you spent 2 years working on?
So it was an independent film. It was like, I was in my like one bedroom, like I had like two roommates were like printing like stuff on the like covers on like the floor of the apartment, like, you know, in the valley. And they have 8 films that are short documentaries that get nominated. They get shortlisted for an Oscar. And this one was one of the 2 that HBO didn't already own. So it was like, this list came out and it was shortlisted for this Oscar. So then 3 weeks later, like HBO emailed me because they wanted to, they just like email you. I'm like, how'd you get this email? You know what I mean? You're like, it's just like so crazy that like, you're like, HBO is emailing me? What is this? You know, like it's hilarious that the like, what? And then, so they email you because they want to acquire your movie because they want to own all the movies that win. So, yeah, it was a really wild ride. And after that, I was like, this is really tough. This documentary hustle is really tough. So CBS has a diversity showcase, a diversity comedy showcase that they do. And I was like, oh, comedy, that'll be fun. I did theater in college and like comedy. And so I joined, and like that year was, I don't know if you know, like Fortune Feimster or Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Hasan Minhaj, just this like really terrific group of like
a group of superstars.
A group of superstars, like legitimately a group of superstars. Wow. It was like, everyone's doing amazing now. Like, and I just remember thinking like, what a fun, like smart group of people. Like, I really like that everyone here is like, you know, they're writing and they're performing, but they're hustling and they have so much energy, and not everyone here is a supermodel, you know, like it was really cool. Like, we got a lot of supermodels. I don't know if you've seen television, but they love supermodels. Huge fans. They're huge fans of supermodels in television. So, you know, and all of these people are like legit funny and really felt like people. Yeah. And I love that. And so, I think it was like Hasan, I think he said to me, he goes, I was teaching him a little bit about film. And then he said to me, he goes, comedy, stand-up comedy is the one thing where you could go out tonight. You could pay $5, go to an open mic. He's like, there's no qualifications. And then somebody would be like, the next comedian coming to the stage, Ruby, you know, and you can just literally do it tonight. And it's like, that's the only kind of qualifier. And just, so I kind of said to myself, I'm just going to start and not put a lot of pressure on this and like, just give it a go. And then I really fell in love with it. And here we are now. And now we'll be at the Rio Theater on Wednesday.
August 3rd, 7 p.m. show for your.
Yes. Yes. I think 8. I think it's 8. I think 8, it's an 8. Yeah.
8. 8 p.m. show for.
8 p.m. show.
Joy
Suck. Joy Suck.
Joy Suck. Joy Suck. Show.
Yeah. For the Joy Suck show. And Sunny Dhaliwal is doing it too. Who's this really hilarious former local comedian who moved to Edmonton and is coming home, like a homecoming. He's very, very funny. And Andrea, God, her last name is going to escape me
Jin.
Now. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And Andrea Jin will be there, who is who just got back from Montreal on a taping. So it's going to be really fun. Yeah. It's going to be a good group of people, really fun. And I hear it's a beautiful theater, you know.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kieran, for giving me so much of your time. Our time is almost up, but please go see Kieran's show at the Rio Wednesday, August 3rd, which is tomorrow, at the 8 p.m. show. And up next, we have The Real World with Juan. So stick around for that. And we are going to leave now. Okay. Bye.
Australia and Canada both have wide open spaces and wild sounds that fill them. Join your host, Matt, as he shares brand new tunes and archived classics from the independent music worlds of Australia and Canada on Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Listen Tuesdays from 11 p.m. to midnight.